Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Breaking News Journal. We have breaking news from the Philippines, from the USA today. It seems like there are 750,000 people who have to be evacuated from the Philippine Islands, and there is the mile per hour is over 200 miles per hour, and it seems like we all need to be praying for the people over in the Philippines, and we are doing just that. We want to thank you for joining us today on Breaking News Journal on Air Radio. If you want to keep up with this story, please go to the Breaking News Journal on Facebook as well as www.breakingnewsjournal.net. I want to welcome you today to Breaking News Journal as we feature the guest that we're having on today. She is a well-known author, and she is author of the series of books called Setting Boundaries. We're waiting for Ms. Allison Bakke to call in, and we've just been promoting her for the last couple of days, and actually for the last week. But we wanted to let you know about her. The book that we're going to talk about today is the book that she just came out with, and you'll be able to find it on Amazon.com. But look, make sure you get in contact with us on Breaking News Journal at www.breakingnewsjournal.net, and just click on Amazon.com and look for books and go to Setting Boundaries for Women. She has a lot of books, Setting Boundaries for a series for teens, aging parents, difficult people, food, and more. And so we're looking forward to having her on the program today. I have a lot of questions that I have for her as we are going through her book or her series today. And there are, you know, some things that I want to ask her about. So I can't wait for her to call in. The number is 949-209-2957 for those of you who want to talk to her. Again, the number is 949-209-2957. Area code 209-2957, and I am looking forward to her calling in any minute now. You know, a lot of times that our authors, when they are busy as Ms. Bakke is, it takes them sometimes a few minutes to get here. But we're going to be waiting patiently for her, and I know that she'll be calling in any minute. Her book is very interesting, and like I said, she has a whole series of books. Setting Boundaries, and it is so interesting to know that she's talking about teens, aging parents, difficult people, food, and more. And I believe that we have our guest on with us right now, Allison Bakke. Allison, are you there?
I am. I am here. Thank you, Ruth.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for joining us on Breaking News Journal on Air Radio. We just had to do some breaking news a few minutes before you got on about the typhoon that's going on in the Philippine Islands. So we're telling everybody to keep everybody there in prayer. And just in case you were trying to get on and couldn't get on because of that, that may have been one of the reasons why. But I just wanted to welcome you on Breaking News Journal on Air Radio right now. And let's get right to your book. Your book is very interesting. As a matter of fact, my husband and I both are reading your book. And it is very exciting, and I want people to go out and get it, and I was just telling them how they could get your book. So let's get right to it, Ms. Allison. How did you come up with all of these books?
Oh, and, you know, it's grown like Topsy, that's for sure. You know, I teach at writers' conferences, and they always say write what you know, and, you know, write what your passion is and what your struggle is, or maybe, yes, you know, the burden or blessings on your heart. And for me, you know, boundary issues are it. I honestly, Ruth, am probably the most boundary-challenged individual I know. And it's such a challenge in my life that as I walked this journey, I started, you know, as a writer, I started writing about it, and it birthed the first book. And I didn't intend it to be a series. I wrote Setting Boundaries with Your Adult Children as a standalone book. I was walking through a journey with a drug-addicted adult child for many, many years, and it was my story of really having the scales removed from my eyes about the difference between helping and enabling. So I wrote that book of you know, setting bodies with my adult child, and it just grew, and my publisher said, you know, let's do another one, and what other issues could there be, and emails started coming in, and it's now I'm on book five, this new one, Setting Boundaries for Women, is book five, and I'm on deadline right now for a book for teen girls in Setting Boundaries.
Wow.
So it's one of those things you don't plan for, but I'm very blessed and thankful I've had the opportunity, but it's really my journey. I'm walking through this as a layperson. You know, there's a lot of therapists and people that are really experienced in writing about, from the PhD, the therapeutic aspect. And I'm a layperson. I'm walking this journey like a lot of us are in deciphering how to set a healthy boundary. So I think
I think that the experts are those who have gone through the issues, don't know what's happening. It's okay to go to therapists and things, but to me, you're the expert. You know, when you go to issues that you've gone through, I don't look at PhDs when it comes to issues like this. This is an issue of the heart. This is an issue right there in the heartland of America, in the heartland of our homes. You know, and things like that. You're coming face to face with this all the time, and this is what these are the kind of people that we like to have on Breaking News Journal. Anyway, we deal with the heartland and the issues that have to deal with us as people. You know, and not you know, there's it's okay to have analysis from experts and therapists and things like that. But to me, I'm more concerned about how you as a parent were able to deal with that. And that's this is what our people want to hear, and that's what a lot of people want to hear.
Well, I agree. There's a time and a place for both. I am very pro counseling and therapy. I'm very, I would not have been able to get to, some of the points I've gotten to in my life had I not been able to have, professional help me, traverse some of those really difficult areas. However, I do tend to learn and my walk resonates with hearing, in the trenches stories from folks that, have actually been there. Now, I do say though, there are folks that are incredible brain surgeons, and they don't have to go through brain surgery to be incredible brain surgeons. So, there's a point, there's a place for those folks that are the professionals. But those of us that are walking it, if God lays something on our heart, or we just have this perspective of, that will help others. And I there's a lot of great books out there now from people that are really walking, the trenches of things. But this boundary issue, it's just really prevalent, isn't it, Ruth? I mean, everywhere we are challenged with a yes and our no.
Yes, absolutely. I pray that your son is doing well. Your adult child now is doing better now. And our prayers should always be thinking of you. Now that we know, about your children, your family, as we're going about our professional lives. And I will be doing that. That will be a part of what I will be doing, because I know that can be a serious, serious issue.
Oh, it's a huge issue for parents today. Is not just the drug component is huge, and it's the alcohol, the poor choices, the financial situations that a lot of our adult kids are in. There's so much. Challenge. There's so many challenges in our kids' lives today, and we, as parents, really want to love them. We want to show them love, but we've gotten a little off track in what that really looks like. In what is our responsibility and what isn't. Love is not spelled M-O-N-E-Y, and we've kind of gotten off this track in the enabling, and our kids' problems are so big. They are. Yeah. They're really, really, really severe today. And there's so many parents. I talk to parents all the time. And that was the first book. That's five books ago. But it's still, it's my first bestseller, and it's still, it's a lot of, or it's a lot of us that are dealing with, knowing really what is helping and what isn't. And that's a real key. What is our responsibility? Whether it's our adult kids or our neighbor or our boss or a spouse or an ex-spouse, really, what are we responsible for, and what aren't we responsible for? And we're an uber generation of overly responsible people, that want to fix and take care of everything.
Let's try to go through, give about 5 minutes for each one of the books that you've done, so we can kind of give everybody out there in radio land, a little bit of what each book is about, so that and how it's helped, some of the letters that you've gotten from each book that has touched your heart and you feel that you've been very effective. So let's go with the first the first one. Did you said you received letters and stuff? What kind of
I was walking through that with my own son for many, many years. And when I finally, you know, sat down and started writing this book, you know, I'll just backtrack quickly. I was standing in my son's rented house on New Year's Eve about a dozen years ago now, and the SWAT team had just ransacked his home. He had been arrested. I was standing in the kitchen dumping alcohol down the sink, you know, and it was, the house was in absolute shambles, and I'm standing there thinking, you know, when is this going to end? When is enough? And then it was like, Allison, I had that epiphany, that aha moment. This is not your place here. You know, get out of this house. He's got to accept responsibility. I cannot bail him out of jail anymore. Mm-hmm. I will not. He will stay in jail, or he'll, you know, whatever it is, whatever. He's got to accept the consequences of his actions. And it was a light bulb moment for me that what I had been doing for so many years, when I thought I was helping, was really enabling. I was handicapping my son. I was not helping him. And when I had that revelation, I started writing about it, and I started writing what steps I felt I needed to take to truly help him and myself, because I was a total mess going through this. Financially, I couldn't pay any more drug rehabs or bailing him out, or I mean, all these things. It was, we get caught up in the drama, chaos, and crisis of our kids' poor choices. You know, and we try to fix it, and we can't. So I started walking these steps that, to me, there were six steps, and it took, you know, a couple years of walking through this. And at the end of the season, I looked at these steps. My publisher, because I'm a writer, my publisher said, you know, is there a book in this, maybe? And I thought, well, I don't know. I really don't know that there is. You know, this is my personal journey. I don't know if there's a book in this. But I looked at the steps, and they spelled the acronym of SANITY.
So wow.
There were six steps, and it was a God. Yes, it was a wow moment, because it was, you know, the six steps now are in every single book. They're the same steps. You know, when we have weak or non-existent boundaries, we are on a gerbil wheel of insanity. We are, you know, we're caught up in the emotional feeling and not necessarily the rational thinking, and that can sometimes be, you know, a real insane gerbil wheel. And so to find sanity, there are six things that I believe we can do to find that sanity. So I wrote those six out and wrote that first book, and you know, it just kind of grew from there. And
from there. Wow.
It did. And a lot of email that was the first idea or the first realization I had that there were other issues that were real key to people. And I kept getting a lot of the adult children. Now, from that first book, a lot of the adult children were writing to me and were calling in on radio broadcasts like yours. They would call and they'd say, you know, I'm the adult child, and I have a parent who is a dysfunctional, you know, for want of a better word, dysfunctional parent. You know, I don't know how to respond to my parent. I'm having to bail my parent out. I'm having to, they would tell me stories like, I bought a car from my dad, and he's promised to pay me back, and he hasn't paid me back, and he's gambling away his money, and it was one story after another of setting boundaries with aging parents. You know, which wasn't just the typical age, you know, the caregiving that sometimes, you know, happens as a result of, you know, growing older. I was really talking about the dysfunctional parents. So parents that really have their own drug, alcohol, you know, gambling, addiction, financial problems, you know, and now these responsible kids, the adult kids, what do they do? How do you set a boundary with your parent? You know, how does that look? That's a whole different world. So
it is. That, it is. I mean, it's like, wow. It seems like that the children in this particular case are the adults, you know. And how did the parents get to that point?
And when that happens, how do these children, you know, how do they respond then? What is, you know, what is their choice to make? And how can they be, you know, honoring to their parents? And how can they be, you know, respectful and God-honoring and walking, you know, walking in a right course?
Absolutely.
And be able to say no to a parent? How do you, what does that really look like in the real world? So it's very different for a lot of people. And, you know, and there's a lot of really challenging issues when it comes to aging parents, because, you know, granted that, you know, there's, you know, they've raised you, they've given you birth, they've raised you, and the end of their life, you know, may be near, and you know, it's, how do you set a healthy boundary with somebody who's, you know, is self, you know, in their own self-destructive mode? So again, this is a different, you know, focus on aging parents. It's not the typical, you know, caregiving or aging parents. But so that was book two. That led to three. Three was difficult people, because people would say, okay, now, you know what, I'm not an adult child. I don't have a parent that's really, you know, having problems, but I have a problem with, and then it was a bullet list. I have a problem either with my neighbor or my boss or my coworker or my ex-spouse or my aunt or my uncle or, you know, any number of people. And that was the umbrella of setting boundaries with difficult people.
Wow.
And that's, you know, how does that, you know, and as I was walking through this, I was going through a challenging business deal that had gone bad, and I was going through some situations with a sibling of my own, and it was like, okay, now how do I, this is difficult, this is hard. When you're boundary challenged, it's going to trickle down, Ruth, into every relationship we have. So,
that's
you know,
true.
It is what it is. So we have to know, okay, how do I respond to this, and really look into the core of what makes us react like we do. You know, why are we? You know, what's motivating us to respond in the ways that we respond to people? And that the sanity steps. This, you know, the first sanity step is stop our own negative behavior. Stop our own, you know, typical responses. Stop the way we always respond to people, you know, and whatever way that may be. For some people, it's, you know, nothing. There's no response. There's a wall up. For other people, it's very emotional. It's overly emotional. For some people, it's anger. For, you know, there's a lot of ways that we respond when somebody pushes our buttons. and not all of them are always very healthy.
Well, you know, that's absolutely true. You know, I'm the type of person that I could get very, you know, belligerent if you push me the wrong way. And so a lot of times
I
stay
very calm. You were very calm on the campaign trail. I mean, I watch you, and that's the thing about debate and talking to people is being able to, you know, listen to them and give them respect, and they're entitled to their opinion. I might not share it. You're entitled to yours.
Yes.
And, you know, and how then can I respond in a way that will open the doors that you will actually hear me? You know, and that's the challenge. You know, how can we respond to people that they really will hear us when, you know, we are being hurt or angered or pushed against the wall or into a corner or you know, somebody has wrong information or
wrong information. I remember.
Yeah,
well,
wrong.
You know,
yeah.
You brought something up that I hadn't even thought about, and it was a situation when I was on the campaign trail. Because for many people out there, they don't know that I started Breaking News Journal as a result of being on the campaign trail, being the first official presidential candidate of the 2008 elections. And I was speaking in South Dakota at Mount Rushmore. There was 35,000 people there. And we were speaking and stuff, and I remember this lady way up at the top of, if you've ever been there, you know that it's like an amphitheater type setting,
uh-huh.
And it's on the outside. And this lady way at the top, I guess she must have been a Hillary Clinton fan or something. She had made some kind of a statement, and I yelled all the way back up to her, well, you don't have to be here. You can go home, you know. You know, you don't have to listen to that. You know, and so people just start clapping and stuff like that. But I really wanted to say that what I found out as I was going across the country is that people were not getting accurate news. There was 122 candidates that had ran in the 2008 elections, and you guys only heard about maybe three or four.
Accuracy is very, you know, objective, is it? I mean, it's who's accuracy. We weren't getting broad enough, you know, and you're right, accurate in many instances. So it was fun,
yeah,
you know.
People need to make the decisions for themselves. Even if someone may not be able to make it to the White House, at least listen to what someone the opportunity to speak to the public and let them know what their feelings are or what it is that what their platform is.
Exactly.
I kept hearing it all over the country, and so I was like, you know, well, I have to do something about this. Once this election is over, I am going to start a news service so that people can be able to have a voice. And that's
amen.
What
amen.
The Journal has turned into, you know.
Amen.
You're
and
not
people
get
need
it
to be able.
Else.
Well, and we've got to be able to have that voice with a modicum of calm, rational response. It's
Absolutely.
Easy to get emotional, and this is the key. This is what is so hard when, you know, we in this boundary issue, you know, we're operating from places of emotion, and often from places of fear, anger, frustration, and, you know, our voices and how we deliver our message and how we really share the setting boundaries, how we really say, you know, I have an identity. I am worthy of not being walked on, I need to stop and change and do something different here in my life, and to be able to say that so someone takes it seriously and gives you the respect that you deserve. And if they don't, they might not always. And this is the key in setting boundaries.
Sure,
not everybody's gonna jump on this bandwagon when you start setting healthy boundaries. You know, not everybody's gonna say, "Whoa, yay! I'm so happy that you're telling me no." You know, and they're not always gonna do that. So, they're gonna push against. And we've got to know how. You know, not to let that pushing and that fear and those, you know, when we're operating from those negative places ourselves and people around us. And that's really, you know, it's a hard walk, Ruth, and it's a very hard walk. We're emotional, and women, especially, you know, we are. I'm not saying men aren't, you know, feeling creatures. They are, but we women tend to be really, you know, we're kind of out there with our emotions, and you know, we can get kind of carried away with this, either not setting healthy enough boundaries or being, you know, too controlling, you know, being too, you know, we're setting too many walls and boundaries up that nothing can get in. So, you know, the boundary issue kind of falls on, you know, on both sides there. But the bottom line is, like on the campaign trail and anywhere, you've got to be able to communicate in a calm and rational way, which is hard. Cause I haven't been calm the past 5 minutes. I've been. I'm a passionate woman. You know, it's like
you're passionate. There's nothing wrong with
trying.
That. Let me ask you something, Allison. In your book, Setting Boundaries for Women, there's a part in the first part of the book that talks about. You start right out the shoot about a real serious issue. So the issue about men who have pornography, sexual pornography issues that are married, and to the way to handle that. I thought about a friend of ours, a longtime friend of ours. They had a wonderful marriage. He was a leader that did a lot for Promise Keepers and getting the men involved in Promise Keepers. But he was luring girls to hotel rooms, and when everybody found out about it, it just destroyed everything. Of course, he was in ministry, leadership. I loved the ground he walked on. When I found out about that, I just shook my world, because our teenagers used to babysit for their family, and to find out that he was getting little girls and, you know, going to hotel rooms and things like that with them, and the mother happened to get wind of it, and she called the police, and they surrounded the motel that they were at. The girl didn't get harmed. This particular girl did not get harmed or anything like that, but it tore the marriage apart. And he had two young babies, and, you know, they were well known. They were public people and stuff like that, and it just totally destroyed him.
Well, it does. Pornography and drugs and alcohol. There's a lot of horrific situations in this world today that are destroying relationships and families. And so that, the wife, you said the wife called on it?
No, no, a mother of the teenager actually followed her teenager to the place and found out.
Well, and good for her that she called in, because that was tough for her, I'm sure, to call. And you've got to just stand firm with that. You know, when you're a whistleblower on anything, you know, it's going to be tough, and you've just got to, you know, hope that you're in the, that you're in the right, and that you can walk through all those, because it's a hard situation once you start setting those boundaries, especially legally, when you're calling.
Why do you think that men do that? If they're in a position of power anyway, why do you think they would do something like that? You know, do you think that is it an escape? Do you think?
Oh, Ruth, that's
so
hard. We could spend hours on the what motivates people to do the things that they do. And when it comes to this pornography issue and the sex trafficking and what motivates the people to do the heinous things they do? There's so many reasons for that. And when you drill it down, you do talk to therapists and you drill it down. There are empty holes in the souls of a lot of people, and there's brokenness and there's damage, and there's a lot of reasons why people respond the way they do. It's hard to say if this child was abused themselves. A lot of men that are involved in pornography and the sex trade have led horribly horrific abusive lives. They have been damaged at a very, very young age, and that's a umbrella to put over all of them. But there's statistics, and there's a lot of proof that a lot of these men are they are damaged themselves. So that does not give them a right to do what they're doing at all.
Exactly.
Why they are, that's such a broad topic to even address. Why they do those things they do. It's all I can ever say is, when the women that talk to me or call me that are involved in these situations, is I can only say, you can't fix him. You can't change him. You can't make him think any other way. But all you can control is yourself and your response. Now, maybe in how you change your response and what you do, that may usher him along to help or growth or getting the help he needs. But you can't be pointing your finger and say, unless, like this situation, he was, really harming a child. You've got to call the police. You've got to do what you've got to do there. And some of these situations, the wives have to say, enough is enough, and I can only change me, and I am not going to live with this anymore. And then really go about setting those steps.
Have you had any men confess and really work on it? Because that sexual demon, that perverted demon, is one of the strongest demons out there.
Well, it is. And what I deal with a lot is the abuse component, because I was married to, I ran away from home when I was a young teenager and married a very abusive man. And that's a lot of the stemming of my own personal boundary issues come, way back when I was a teenager. So I experienced domestic violence at its absolute worst. So I know what this is like, and I have had men that have called in and talked, that are walking that journey, that are doing their best to change how they respond. Mm-hmm. We can change. I believe that we can, if it really is a desire of our heart, and we get the help we need, and we walk consistently, and we have accountability partners, and we really accept the consequences of our actions, and really walk a journey, we can change. And I do see this happening a lot in the domestic violence realm. Now, again, many times it doesn't happen, but nothing's going to change if the woman herself does not say, the S in sanity, stop, enough is enough, I'm not going to accept this kind of treatment anymore. And that comes down to, our own value of ourselves. Do we value ourselves enough not to be abused, not to be treated like a sex object, not to be involved with somebody who is involved with pornography or some of these other heinous, sexually explicit situations. We can't change them. We can, again, only change ourselves. And we get caught up in all that, and we want to fix them and get them to stop and, do what it is to make them stop. And in all the Setting Boundaries books, they all come back to ourselves, are the choices that we make, because we can only control our response. So, you know, we've got to be looking at our heart. Why are we, you know, why are we responding like we are to this situation or this person? You know, and how can we change this? Not change them. How can we, you know,
no, you can't do that.
Yeah, because all for years I wanted to change my son. You know, I wanted to fix. You know, I had a drug addicted son. He was on heroin. He was on the streets. I mean, it was awful. There were times I didn't know if he was alive. I mean, it was terrible. And I wanted so much for him to have a better life and to make different choices. But you know, when all is said and done, I can't make him choose anything. I can only, you know, respond as I do and you know, love him as I can, you know, unconditionally, but with boundaries. You know, unconditional love does not mean that you're a doormat to wrong behavior.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. As we get ready to end the program, we have a few minutes left, and I want you to give people information about how they can reach you. I mean, are you going to be speaking? Do you have like an itinerary of where you're going to be speaking? And
my itinerary online for speaking, and I don't do that anymore. That's gotten a little bit challenging. But they can, you know, look at my blog or go onto my blog, or settingboundariesbooks.com is my website, and the books are available at all bookstores or Amazon.com. But you know, there's support group materials online, because the Sanity Steps, really, it's a support group as well. It's the Sanity Support Group, a lot like AA or Celebrate Recovery. I mean, there are six steps to sanity. Can I run through those real fast?
Yeah, sure, please.
S is stop your own negative behavior. A is assemble supportive people around you. That's a support. You need that, whether it's a support group or, you know, small group or an AA group or a couple people or a Bible study. N is nip excuses in the bud. You know, excuses are just a form of accepting unacceptable behavior. You know, I mean, we've got to nip the excuses, our own and everybody else's.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, nip it, forget it. I implement an action plan. That's actually, you know, really setting up a plan to do something. You know, the fourth book in this series is Setting Boundaries with Food. I lost 120 pounds, and I talk about my weight loss journey, and it's about boundaries. You know, it's why, you know, and so putting a plan together, it's really important. Implement an action plan. If you want to launch that kid, you know, if you've got a boss that's driving you nuts, if you've got, you know, issues with whatever boundary related issue you have, you've got to have some kind of a plan for how you're going to make changes, what you need to do. And I'm very pro writing that out. So implement an action plan. T is trust your instincts and trust that voice of the spirit. You know, we're very intuitive people and women, and we really have ignored that for a long time. That intuition, that voice of the spirit that says, you know, this is not right, or you need to, you know, something. You know, we pray a whole lot. We're a real praying nation, but do we really stop long enough to listen to what God's saying to us? So the T is trust.
Yes.
Trust that voice of the Spirit. And why is yield everything to God. You know, you can only do so much. You know, that doesn't mean you sit back frozen and let yourself be steamrolled, or but yield is an important thing, to realize that God is in control and there's a bigger plan than we really, you know, can sometimes fathom on our own. And for me, I had to realize back at that first book that, you know, God had a big plan for my son, and it did not include me swooping in to try to protect him at every turn, because he had to walk his own Damascus road to experience what he needed to experience. Every time I swooped in and tried to help, I was playing God, and that was not my role. So, you know, as women, we've got to yield, you know, men and women, we yield everything to God and trust that he's in control. So those are sanity steps, and they will hold for any, you know, any situation that we're in. You know, if boundaries and, you know, become that issue, if our yes and no's are confusing and we don't know what to say yes to or how to say no, stop and step back and apply those sanity steps.
Absolutely.
Did I sit through that, Ruth?
No, you did a great, honey. I'm so glad that you said that and that you did it, and you did an excellent job, because I, you know, it's going to make me, this is going to be my a study material for this weekend anyways, just going through your book. And we don't like to read parts of of books. We like to read the whole thing all the way through. So we will be reading Setting Boundaries. The one we have from your PR firm is the Setting Boundaries for Women. And, you know, and I encourage everybody to get the Setting Boundaries series for teens, for aging parents, for difficult people, for food, and then the one that's going to come out for teenagers. I encourage everybody to do that. And if you're going to go to Amazon.com, please go to BreakingNewsJournal.net and click on the Amazon.com, the Amazon logo, and go to books and get Allison's book and tell everybody about her book. And because a lot of us in our families, need what she is doing and what her books are about, because she is absolutely right and on target, and she knows from firsthand experience, and if not, that she's gotten this information from people out there in the world that are needing support or help, or can even give her some information about what's going on with them and how to help others. So this is really good at people out there. Get those books from Allison. Just, you know, help make her really well known all over the world and her books.
Oh, from your mouth to God's ears, Ruth.
Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to support the lady producers of Project Red Sliver, because we can help continue to get programs like our Allison's out there to the public, and that's what we're about on Breaking News Journal. So, Allison, it has been a privilege having you on Breaking News Journal on air radio today, and you have got to come back. You got to tell me you're going to come back on Breaking News Journal.
I'll be happy to be there, Ruth, and I'm looking forward to it. And blessings to you and your journey, and with Breaking News, we giving those independent voices a voice. Thank you.
You're more than welcome, and I'll get this embedded code over to you so you can put it on your website, and people can hear how you are in action.
Oh, amen. Thank you for the opportunity, Ruth.
You're more than welcome. Have a blessed day.
And you as
come
well.
Come rain, bye-bye. Come shine, I meet you, and to me the world is fine. Then I kiss your lips, and the pounding becomes the ocean's roar. When you arouse the need in me, my heart says yes indeed in me. Proceed to tell you that you're marvelous, tell you that you're wonderful again. 'Cause I've got you under my skin, and I love you under my skin.